Welcome to the Asylum, home of the Asylum Fantasy Football Show. At AsylumFantasyFootball.com, at Asylum Football on Twitter, and you can find us on iTunes as well. Go there and hit us up with a five-star rating.
Yes, indeed. You can also find us on Thursdays at noon on WSRU 88.1 FM, the voice of the rock. And don't forget to email your questions to us at AsylumFootball@gmail.com.
And some big news tonight, Rick. 1 week away, we are embarking on a new journey with our boy Nick Ficcarelli at Mr. Fick TSC on Twitter at thesportschrononline.com, forming the Sports Chronicle Network on Blog Talk Radio. 7 days worth of content, shows every day. Our Friday show can be heard there. So that'll be a little bit of change for you. We'll explain exactly how that's going to work.
Yeah, but it's an exciting venture, that's for sure. The Sports Chronicle Radio Network, like Rick said, 7 days a week. And, I mean, you'll get all kinds of the latest sports news, views, from fantasy football to NASCAR to MMA. I mean, it covers everything.
Absolutely everything. It's amazing. From the subliminal to the sublime, or however that goes, Rick. I think I just butchered that bad. But like Rick said, so what's going to happen if you follow our show on our website, AsylumFantasyFootball.com, and our Blog Talk feed at the Asylum Fantasy Football Podcast on Blog Talk? That's where our Tuesday shows will continue to be. We will be set up with he's calling it the SCRN, the Sports Chronicle Radio Network. We do have a widget we'll be getting put up on our site, so you can find those shows there. You can also download it off of our site if you can't catch it live, the same way you always have. iTunes will be the same. But super excited to be a part of this network. Like Rick said, anything you could imagine, football, college football, NASCAR, MMA, anything you could imagine, all kinds of sports talk. So definitely check that out. Check out the sportschronline.com. Get all the details there. We'll get the press release posted up on our website as well. So two many, many more ways you can find our show and a lot of other great shows.
Yes, indeed. And the press release, Nick's been on quite a few radio stations. I know he was interviewed down in Florida. They had the press release. He's on a radio station out in Wisconsin. I mean, he's getting it out. And it should be really exciting.
Yeah, can't wait for that. So, Rick, let's move on from that. Details to come on that. We'll follow us on Twitter. You'll find it there. Check out our website. So, Rick, they played football last night. I don't know if you noticed, if you happened to catch the game.
You're kidding. There was a game last night?
There was. I'm sorry if you missed that.
Gee whiz. Now, that, I tell you what, we talked about that on the Tuesday show, and I mentioned there was a lot of question marks in my mind of the Dallas offense. I think some of that got answered last night.
Yeah, maybe. I'll tell you what, I was surprised. I think everybody was a little bit surprised by just how well they played. And I think what I was more surprised by, we'll just go right into the recap of it. Would they end up with 12, 13, 14 penalties, all kinds of procedure penalties, delay a game, and still manage to have that success on offense? Really a strange game altogether.
Yeah, quite frankly, it was kind of a typical first game of the season, a little bit of sloppy play, especially early on. But I actually thought the reverse would happen. I really thought New York would crank it up first and get going. But I'll tell you what, Dallas, they look good, and I think that offense is going to be as explosive as everyone seemed to think it was going to be.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We talked about it all offseason. You know, look, Tony Romo, we'll use him as the example, and almost the entire Cowboys offense as an example. Look, this team isn't going to win a Super Bowl, and I still don't believe that, but fantasy-wise, from a fantasy perspective, there is a lot of fantasy points to be found on that team.
Oh, you're not kidding. Yeah, I agree. I mean, fantasy football potency is certainly not, you know, Super Bowl worthy all the time, that's for sure. But there's a real high-powered offense there, and there's a lot of weapons. I mean, look at your draft, you listeners out there. I mean, where did Romo go? Where did DeMarco Murray go? Dez Bryant, Miles Austin, they were all probably fairly high in your drafts, and now we know why. I mean, let's not get Ogletree confused with the new number one in Dallas yet.
Yeah, we'll get into that. I think that's going to be the biggest part of this conversation. So let's save the best for last. Let's look at what the Giants did last night. Eli Manning, sort of a pedestrian, 21 of 32, 213 yards and a touchdown. Wasn't great, wasn't awful, just sort of blah in every way. Couldn't seem to finish drives. These are the kind of games you're going to get from Manning. Yeah, I think you're also going to see some of those 300-yard games. Nothing, just really nothing to talk about with Manning's performance. It wasn't awful, but certainly not what you're looking for from a fantasy perspective.
No, and Victor Cruz owners, some of those drops obviously hurt you. It hurt Eli's stats somewhat, and it hurts Giant chances of winning that game. I wouldn't panic yet. I got a feeling Victor Cruz is going to have a pretty good year, but he didn't look real good.
No, I mean, we'll jump right to him then. 6 catches, 58 yards, 3 obvious drops, 3 really bad drops. I don't think there's any way to put it. Something you didn't see from him last year. The guy doesn't have a history or have the reputation of having the drops. Do you chalk it up to opening night jitters, or are you a little bit worried that this guy, maybe because of some of the fantastic catches he made last year, found himself overvalued?
Personally, I think it was probably first game jitters. That's just me. I just don't think he's lost his hands yet. You know, let's keep monitoring him a little bit. You know, yeah, he does the same thing next game. All of a sudden, some eyebrows may go up, but I don't think it's anything to worry about yet.
Yeah, and I think that's the big point of all this. We're talking one game. Obviously, we're going to overanalyze it because finally we have a real game to talk about. And, yeah, I'm not pushing the panic button, but certainly something to keep an eye on because the drops were so egregious. And maybe that makes you feel better about it. They were so egregious. An NFL receiver won't drop those balls that often. Sticking with the receiver core, Hakeem Nicks obviously still slowed with that foot, 4 catches for 38 yards. Somebody I was surprised by, Rick, I was happy to see a guy you picked up in one of our expert league drafts, Martellus Bennett, 4 for 40 and a touchdown. Pretty good stat line for a tight end that's not getting drafted or getting taken in the 11th, 12th, 13th type of rounds. A nice little performance, and he looked good and looks like he's going to be a part of that offense.
Yeah, and I believe it was Collinsworth who was hitting on that on the show last night. Basically, what was holding him back was Jason Witten in Dallas, and he's going to get a full opportunity in New York, and so far he's taken good advantage of it.
Yeah, no question about it. So moving up to the running game, Ahmad Bradshaw, we'll get to David Wilson. I think that's the other big part that come out of this game. 17 carries, 78 yards, seemed to get it going later in the game in the fourth quarter. He's the type of runner that does that. Did manage to find the end zone. I think, Rick, I think this is right on the number. This is what you expect out of Ahmad Bradshaw. So if you have him as a lower end 2, if you got him in a flex spot as a 3, he's good there barring his health. He's not going to have too many better games than that and probably not a whole lot worse. I think he hit his number last night.
Yeah, that was a very Bradshaw-like performance right there. Good, the old cliche workman's effort. And, 78 yards and a touchdown. You get that out of him because you probably drafted him RB2 at the most. I mean, you can't really ask much for that. He'll get a few catches, and he'll have those 2 touchdown games. So it may be a 100-yard game here or there. But that, like you said, that's right on the mark, and that's a good performance.
And the big news, one of everybody's favorite sleepers we've heard about all off season, David Wilson, managed only 2 carries in his second carry, put the ball on the ground, and didn't see the field again except for in special teams. Again, you don't want to put too much stock in the first game, a rookie's first game, but what I worry about, Rick, you're talking Tom Coughlin now, and if you end up in his doghouse, you might as well go ahead and decorate because you're going to be there for a little while.
Yeah, ask Brandon Jacobs.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. I mean, Tom Coughlin, he's no-nonsense guy. I mean, he treats you like a man. You're a professional. You're getting paid good money to do this. And, he's not going to put up with those kind of fumbles. There's no doubt. We all know the Tiki Barber story. And I don't think Coughlin – was Coughlin there? Yeah, right at the end, right?
Yeah, and then Tiki left, and they won the Super Bowl the following year, which I think a lot of people speculate that wasn't a coincidence.
Exactly. I thought I misspoke for a minute, but I swore that Coughlin was a guy he wasn't going to put up even with Tiki Barber. So, David Wilson, he might as well, like you said, start decorating the doghouse here.
Yeah, I think no question about it. Yeah, and look, they'll work with him in practice. We'll get to see those clips I always love to see when a guy gets fumble-itis, where they'll make him run through the team and they'll be whacking him with those tackling dummies and things, which is always sort of cool to watch. But you have to worry. This kid has a history in college of fumbling. I've been fumbling around here, speaking of fumbling, trying to find the exact number here, and I ran out of time. But a history at Virginia Tech of putting the ball on the ground. First thing he does in the NFL is put the ball on the ground. Apparently that's his kid's favorite thing to do in the world, is fumble the football. And the big thing is, like we said, with all the talent, with all the promise, with all the upside, Tom Coughlin just isn't going to tolerate it.
No, I agree. And it goes back to what you and I have been preaching for months. Let's just not be hasty anointing these rookies as the RB1 or the QB1 all the time. You know, Doug Martin owners, beware. Trent Richardson's another one. I think he's in a little different situation. But, you know, when you anoint a rookie, okay, this is the guy. And, I mean, let's not forget, these guys are, you know, 22 years old, and they're young. They don't, you know, they haven't played in the pros. There's a lot of experience in the pros where you could be the man at college. You come into the pro, you're playing with all the men. You know what I'm saying? I mean, these guys, they were top dogs wherever they were at. So, you know, and there's a real learning curve there. And anointing these rookies so prematurely can be dangerous, especially in fantasy.
Yeah, I think no question about it. And eventually the kid's going to get another shot, and hopefully he improves. But I think it shows me, at least early on, barring health, it's still Bradshaw's ball game. He's still going to be the lead carrier. If he goes down, I think this conversation changes. But David Wilson, you just may have to wait for that breakout we were hoping for from him. So let's jump over, Rick, to the Cowboys. A whole different story. You're talking about sort of the pedestrian type of numbers that we saw coming out of New York. Not the case in Dallas. Tony Romo, the much maligned Tony Romo, a guy who I feel was being drafted way too late and behind some guys that I would rather have Tony Romo in front of, goes 22 for 29, 307 yards, 3 touchdowns, and then the one typical Tony Romo interception you get every week. But I think just a fantastic game. He looked excellent. You talked about Chris Collinsworth earlier, pointed out in his opinion, he thinks this was the best game of Tony Romo's career, as far as in his opinion. So an impressive night out of Tony.
Yeah, and what really was impressive to me was the big numbers came in the second half. I mean, he was getting knocked around. He was having a rough time that first half. And he kept his poise. The line actually solidified. The running game got going. And Dallas as a team really came together. And they were working as a pretty good unit out there. And, you know, I think a lot of that credit should go to Tony Romo.
All right. And I'll just bring up this name, Rick, and let you sing the praises, because this is your guy from way back last season. DeMarco Murray's slow start really got it rolling in the second half. 20 for a 131. Very impressive night out of DeMarco Murray.
That's why he's the official running back of the asylum.
That's simply not true.
I tell you what, the guy looked good. He was running hard. He was pass blocking. And just an all-around good performance. And if he stays healthy, that's going to be a dangerous running game. Because I tell you what, you know, they still got Felix Jones, which they used, you know, a bit sparingly, but he was in there. And, you know, he's a pretty good guy in there to spell Murray. I mean, that's going to be solid.
Yeah, that's something I was surprised by. He didn't have a rush last night, used more sparingly than I thought he would be. Probably good news for DeMarco Murray owners. You look at Murray, and I think this is probably how a lot of his games are going to go, too. He ended up averaging 6.6 yards a carry, but did have that one incredible, just beastly 48-yard run. And he's the type of guy who's good for one of those every week. So I think even in a bad week, he winds up putting up numbers, because he's going to bust one off like that because he runs so tough.
Yeah, and he just put his head down and run into the guy. He went backwards. Murray bounced off and got around the corner, and he's with that speed, he was tough to catch.
Yeah, it definitely has something I didn't see. I didn't get to see him play a lot last year. He's got a second gear. He's a tough runner. He's a physical runner, but has that second gear when he finds himself in open space.
Yeah, and all in all, that was a pretty good opening game for an NFL season, I thought.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's move on. Here's the first waiver wire question of the year. I'm sure there's 17 billion claims out on him already. Kevin Ogletree, 8 for 114, 2 touchdowns. You buying it, Rick?
I don't see why, you know, depending what you're going to drop off your bench to pick him up, why you wouldn't pick him up. Who knows? He could turn into the Laurent Robinson of 2012 for Tony Romo. If nothing else, I think he'd probably be an adequate, you know, WR3 sitting there on your bench. He's not going to do this every week, no. Not with all the other weapons there. But he certainly seems to be competent in the offense, and Romo seems to trust him. So he may be, you know, a viable option a week or, you know, every now and again.
Yeah, it's possible. And I'll tell you, here's the reason. You're not going to know this after 1 week. Is he worth picking up? Absolutely. If you have a waiver claim, it's early in the year, you can afford to do it. You drafted somebody. Everybody drafted somebody. You're scratching your head saying, why did I waste a draft pick on this clown? Is he? The question is, you look back at Lauren Robinson last year. We asked the same question about him, and it was sort of, oh, take the wait-and-see approach. A few weeks later, he's got 11 touchdowns and had one of the better fantasy seasons from a wide receiver.
Do you recall last year who did not take the wait-and-see approach in Lauren Robinson?
I don't. I forgot all about that. So moving on. No, I mean, you nailed that one. You jumped on. I mean, and that's a good point to you newer fantasy owners out there. Play the wire. Don't jump on everything. But guys like this, look, Lauren Robinson did it last year. Maybe there's something about the third receiver in this Dallas offense. Now, to be fair, Robinson did it without Austin a lot. Austin was out there along with Brian. But there's something about that position on that team that they seem to have success, especially finding the end zone. And here we are with Ogletree with 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, don't sell Austin and Bryant short, that's for sure, if they stay healthy. But then again, you know, a guy like Ogletree could pick up some junk catches just because they are in there taking a lot of the coverage. So, you know, time will tell. Just keep watching him. If you got a gut feeling, go for him. If you got somebody on your bench, you don't really care if he's there or not.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So grab him. Dez Bryant, a nice game, 4 for 85. And Miles Austin, after a really slow start, I was starting to get worried. There were some health issues. Came on in the fourth quarter, 4 for 73, found the end zone. I think easily two and three quarters legitimate fantasy starters on that in that Dallas receiving core.
Yeah, definitely. No doubt about that. And all you guys that raced to the computer and got on your lineup and threw Jason Witten in there, shame on you. You should have known he wasn't going to, you know, be going in there a whole lot with that. He's got basically 2 weeks now to fully heal.
Yeah, no question about it. I think a big surprise that he found himself into the game, that he was in the lineup. I know I was stunned just seeing it, you know, coming up there 10, 15 minutes before kickoff. And seeing how he performed, Rick, I guess you got to ask the question, why? You could tell he wasn't up to snuff. He still wasn't right. He wasn't a big part of the offense. I wonder what was to be gained by all of that.
Maybe that's exactly why. I don't know, have any idea truthfully, but just a hunch. Maybe that is why, just to see how he is performing or reacting to contact. If he's willing to make contact, like in a real game situation. You know, there's got to be a little bit of hesitancy there, knowing that one of your organs is lacerated.
Yeah.
But, you know, he goes in there. He acquitted himself fairly well. He certainly wasn't himself, like you pointed out. But now he's basically got 2 weeks. He's been in a game. He knows, hey, maybe mentally, hey, I'm okay now. So I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking in too much into it. I don't know. But to me, that would be about the only reason you would try that.
Yeah, I mean, not a lot to be gained of it. They didn't get a lot out of it. But I like the point, somebody I hadn't considered. Get him out there, get him a little bit of live game contact. And you didn't just fall down over there, did you?
No, why?
I heard a crash or a slam or something.
I'm not sure what you're here, but we can just continue.
I'm forever worried about you over there without having any supervision. We're going to have to hire somebody to keep an eye on you.
On this new mahogany table, on the cushy chairs, a cozy fireplace, what could be wrong?
Yeah, I agree. I wish I was there right now, and now in what my studio now seems so dark and dank. It's depressing being here now with the beautiful romantic setting you put together for us out there. All right, well, let's not go down that road again. We got 1 week's worth of shtick out of that already. So let's go on, Rick. I think you said we have a few questions we could answer before we give our at least a full half an hour to our starts and sits this week.
Yeah, Eric had an interesting question come by, and I'm not sure if the reactions will be quite as drastic between the two of us, because I know you're softer on this guy than I am. But and a little Twitter came through earlier today, at destruction is nice. Nice handle.
That's an awesome name.
But he writes, drafted DeMarco Murray. I got DeMarco Murray on the mind.
That,
here, you know?
That man crush is getting out of hand.
Yeah. Drafted Darren McFadden first overall the other night. Am I insane or slick?
I'd say neither. And you said it right off the bat. I'm a little softer on DeMarc. Or, geez, now you got me doing it. All right, the official show, name of the show has been changed. This is the DeMarco Murray Fantasy Football Show. We'll see you next week. But Darren McFadden, I truly believe, if he stays healthy, he's the number one fantasy player, short of the quarterbacks, easily the number one fantasy running back out there. But that's a pretty big if with him, that he's going to play 16 games or even 13 games to get you through your fantasy season. So are you insane? No. Based on that, I have to say you're not crazy. However, slick, maybe, but too slick. You know what I think it is? I think you're being too cute there. You got two sure things and pretty close to a third sure thing. I like the upside on a guy on McFadden, but I think you're getting a little too cute there and put yourself at a bit of a competitive disadvantage. It's probably the nicest way I can put it.
Okay. I'll say he's insane.
All right. Don't sugarcoat it.
And I don't mean it in a bad way. This is what I mean. You know his injury history. And like Rick said, you're going to be hard-pressed probably to get the 13 games out of him, let alone 16. You got Ray Rice, LeSean McCoy, Arian Foster sitting there. I have those ranked over Darren McFadden. Not saying they're better. I just think, all in all, they have a better chance of playing a full season and having more fantasy points. There's no doubt Darren McFadden's got the talent. And like Rick says, I mean, you know, I just think you're a little too cute as well. I actually have Chris Johnson ahead of Murray. Here we go again.
Again, this is getting absurd.
It's getting stupid here. But I actually had him number five on my running back list. So taking him first overall, I think you're pushing your chips in a little early, because he goes down when you could have had a Ray Rice or a McCoy or even a Rodgers, however you want to play your thing. But, you know, obviously you're following the first commandment, draft running backs often.
Yeah, so I'll give him credit for that. So
right.
High risk. It could pay off.
I think
you're
just taking a heck of a risk that early in the draft. Look, if you were the fourth pick and you took him or something like that, no problem. But I think the Trinity should be ranked higher than him, just because of his risk injury, and I don't care what anybody says, the guy is a risk, he's a real injury risk.
Yeah, no question about it. And I think that's what it is, especially when you have the number one overall pick. What it does give you is some security. Unless you take Arian Foster, there's always injury concerns with him. But it's a sure thing. Look, I think we both agree, Rick. We've talked to, I think this has come up in interviews we've done with people or when we've been interviewed by people. One of those top three that we're calling the Trinity isn't going to finish in the top three. Maybe even two of them, who knows. And McFadden may be that one to step in. But that guy who's going to step in is so hard to identify. It's just a big risk. I'm nervous about it. It could pay off huge and could very well have the last laugh if McFadden finds a way to stay healthy. But you talk about being on pins and needles week after week, where I liked, you know, I saw a lot of people, especially as the year went on, taking Ray Rice with that first spot, because he doesn't miss games. You're going to get those receptions. You know exactly what you're going to get, and that's the kind of security I like to have if I have that first overall pick.
Yeah, I agree 100% what you're saying. Just to extend your point a little bit, like if we're talking about the Trinity, one of those guys or two of those guys may not even be in the top three this year. However, let's put it another way. Calvin Johnson may not be the top receiver this year. But I'll tell you what, if you're picking, if all the, none of the receivers have been taken and you're taking a receiver, you're going to take Calvin Johnson because right now he gives you the best chance of maximizing your fantasy points. And that's what I think we're talking about with like Ray Rice as opposed to McFadden.
Yeah, and to your point on Megatron, you know he's not going to be a bust. Maybe he doesn't put up the year he did last year. Maybe two guys beat him out. He's not going to be a bust. You know he's going to be a solid performer. The Trinity, the same thing. Now, I know McFadden is going to be a solid top five performer when he plays. What I don't know is how often he's going to play. And I think you might, at Destruction is Nice, you just may overthought yourself a little bit, if that's even a word. Can you overthought something?
Yeah, why not? You could overthink yourself, so in a past tense, you overthought. So
I like it.
That's okay.
So, Rick, we got a question in the chat room here on Blog Talk Radio tonight from Jokers99. He's in a PPR league. He's got to start one of these guys. Peyton Hillis, Rashard Jennings, Donald Brown, Titus Young, or Robert Meacham. Who are you liking out of that group?
Okay, read them off again so I can write them down and not... try to remember
that. All right, if you were a professional, you'd have written them down the first time, but let's do this again. Hillis.
The cheap pen you gave me didn't work.
But it's got our name on it, so it made
it's true.
So it was
kind
of cool.
Okay, Hillis, Titus Young.
Rashard Jennings.
Okay.
Donald Brown and Robert Meacham.
Okay, and we're starting how many?
Just one. You can only have one, I assume.
Just one, and it's PPR.
Yeah, it must be a flex spot.
Okay, sounds like it. Okay, I don't want Donald Brown, to be honest with you. I don't like the matchup. New England's going at Chicago. Meacham, PPR, he is a bit interesting because I don't think Hillis... I don't like Jennings.
You don't like any of them, so drop them all.
No, I'm really, you know, Jennings is probably going to get the start against Minnesota. I mean, he's not out of it, that's for sure. Because, you know, when you're in PPR, kind of like the running back situation because they run and catch. I just don't like Brown's matchup against the Bears. However, you know, Meacham in San Diego... That's a pretty interesting one there.
They play Monday night against the Raiders.
Yeah, there it is. Okay, I was having a rough time. Oh, yeah, at Oakland. That could turn into kind of a shootout. Titus Young is interesting. However, he had a fairly decent year, but, you know, he's always going to be getting a lot of competition with Burleson. So now I'm just – you know, I tell you what – I'm almost going to have to go if Jennings.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I worry a little bit about MJD being there. They're saying he's only going to be the third down back. And actually, you know, and I worry about MJD. I've seen some goal line carries, so I worry about Jennings there. I'm actually leaning, and I can't believe I'm saying this, even against that Bears defense. I'm leaning almost Donald Brown. I'll tell you, Titus Young, actually, Jokers99, responded in the chat that he was leaning towards Titus. And you hit right on it, Rick. Titus was a guy we sort of all fell in love with in the offseason here. As I think about it more, Burleson's still there. Calvin's still there. Brandon Pettigrew, I think, is going to catch 70 balls this year. Just a lot of competition. Maybe they're going to wing it around a lot, but I'm going to have to see it from Titus Young before I feel comfortable starting him. I think on a week-to-week, I almost like Hillis out of that group. For me, it comes down to Jennings versus Brown. I wouldn't argue with you either way. I just think Donald Brown with Andrew Luck there, I saw some things in the preseason. They're looking to throw the ball to the back. I'm going to go Donald Brown, but I got no problem with Jennings either.
Yeah, I was actually tossing around. You know, Brown matchup against Chicago kind of worries me. Jennings is going against... I should say, I guess, a much softer defense in Minnesota. However, you know, it's a pretty good line there. But I don't know. Hillis, they're playing Atlanta. They may be down quick. It's hard to say. I just don't think Hillis is going to be rushing a whole lot, and a lot of the catches to a running back are probably going to go to Jamaal Charles. Young is probably a good option, but I just like, especially in PPR, like running, starting running backs in that situation, because you get the rushing yards and some receiving.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if either Meacham or Young gets shut down, gets keyed on, has a bad game, that's your only shot. Donald Brown is the only game in Indianapolis right now. That's what I like about him. Jennings, for 1 week, is going to be 80 to 90% of the rushing offense there. So if you want to go Jennings, if we want to give a definitive answer, I'll go ahead and go Jennings. Why not? Get you drafted him. Let's get 1 week out of him anyhow. And I think him and Donald Brown are 1A and 1B on that list for this week.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I apologize for stumbling around there, because that was an excellent question. It's very tough. Yeah, I mean, no wonder he's having trouble with that.
Yeah.
That's a difficult situation.
Yeah, and I mean, look, there's value everywhere there. They're all good players, and it's going to be a tough spot, you know, for
and
you.
I'm not so sure Meacham isn't a good start either. I'm not convinced he's a number one receiver, but right now he's one of the big games in town in San Diego. So, you know, but first year in San Diego, I'm just not high on that. I'd rather have something I know about, like Brown or Jennings.
Yeah, I want to have the security of a running back early on. If Meacham does what I think he can do, but not convinced he's going to do, if that makes any sense, I think it's going to be Meacham, and it's going to be a no-brainer as the season goes on. However, early on, not knowing how things are going to work, go ahead and give me whatever running back I think is going to get the most touches early on to be safest, to maximize my potential fantasy points on a week one type of scenario.
Exactly.
All right, you got another one there before we jump into our start sits?
Yeah, actually, talking to somebody just today, as a matter of fact, and they had a bit of a dilemma. And who should I start in a flex? They're in a PPR, and they start two running backs, two wide receivers, one flex. Michael Bush, Jonathan Dwyer, Randall Cobb, C.J. Spiller.
Ooh, that's tough. After I yelled at you, Rick, you're going to have to give me that list again.
If you were professional, you'd already wrote it down.
Well, I'm okay. Not. People expect more from you.
Michael Bush.
All right.
Jonathan Dwyer.
Okay.
Randall Cobb.
Okay.
C.J. Spiller, and okay. It's PPR.
Okay, it's a PPR. I'm going to go ahead and scratch Cobb off the list right now.
This is for the flex position, so okay.
Yeah, just because Cobb was another one we talked about early in the offseason. As things have broken down, you're looking, he's in competition right now with Donald Driver to be the fourth receiver on that team. James Jones beat him out. You obviously have Jennings and Jordy Nelson there. So while Cobb, I think, has a ton of untapped potential, he's just in the situation he's in now. I don't think he's ready for that breakout yet. Jonathan Dwyer, kind of same situation. My belief is if Mendenhall doesn't come back healthy, and maybe even if he does, and Dwyer can stay healthy. We talk about injury risks. Here's a guy, just because you don't talk about him a lot, this guy's never been able to stay healthy and or in shape. I think this kid could lead the Steelers in rushing this year, but Redmond's going to be in healthy. They're going to work some plays into Rainey, so I'm not comfortable starting Dwyer. So now I'm talking Michael Bush and C.J. Spiller, and I think these two guys are very similar in what their roles are going to be on their team. So if I look at matchups, I got the Bears playing the Colts. Yeah, that's a fairly good matchup. C.J. playing the Jets, not as good, so I'm not getting a lot out of that matchup. My first blush is I'm going to say I'm high on C.J. Spiller. However, Fred Jackson has a way of just always dragging down what Spiller's going to do. So I think Michael Bush has the most potential to find the end zone, being that we're all pretty certain he's going to get the goal line carries. So for this week, until I actually see that C.J. Spiller has a bigger role in that Bills offense, I'm going to play it safe and go Michael Bush.
Yeah, I actually had time to muddle through it a little bit while you were going through your answer, and obviously Randall Cobb was X'd off immediately. I agree with you. He's got the untapped potential, but right now he's way down the depth chart, and the opportunities just aren't present right now that we know of. I mean, they haven't even played. But Jonathan Dwyer, so much potential there. The guy's in shape. He's been running well. He's behind Redmond. Spiller's behind Jackson. Bush behind Forte. Yeah, I like Chicago's matchup against Indianapolis. I think they're going to have a lot of potential to score, and they'll probably be down in the red zone, which means Michael Bush will be coming in. I like Spiller's potential pass catching. However, like you said, Fred Jackson seems to snuff out a lot of what he does, so I'm going to have to agree with you, Michael Bush.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So that was a simple one. I'm looking through the chat room here. See another question. Shane Hallam, actually, he takes Spiller in that scenario for sure, so he's pretty sure on that. So I like that again. I think those guys are 50-50. I just like the thought of, I know Bush is going to get the goal line carries. Fred Jackson tends to get those goal line carries. So here you go, a PPR, you can pick two, so you got to bench one of these guys, Antonio Brown, Marcus Colston, or Brandon Lloyd. Boy, isn't that a nice problem to have.
Brown, Colston, or Lloyd?
Who bench like one. Bench? Yeah, bench one. Start two, bench one.
Okay. I am definitely starting Antonio Brown.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I am. And I am going to start Colston, so I'm going to bench Lloyd. I haven't seen him in the New England offense yet. And until they get cranked up, I'm not so sure he's still not leaning on Gronk, Hernandez, and Welker and so forth. So I think right now in week one, I think the safest upside is with Colston and Brown.
Yeah, you're probably right. I think I'm going to start Brown, no doubt about it. I'm just getting really high on him, especially with Mike Wallace coming back. I think it only makes Antonio Brown better. Colston Lloyd's a tough call. I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Rick. I'm going to disagree with you. I'm going to go ahead and sit Colston only because for 1 week in a vacuum, I think Lloyd's upside is higher. You've never seen Colston have these 10, 11, 12 catch games for 200 yards and three touchdowns. You give Belichick a new toy, you give Tom Brady a new toy, he could go off. Is he definitely going to do it? I don't know, probably not. That's hard to predict. But going on upside, I think I'm going to give Brandon Lloyd the shot this week. I know what I'm going to get with Colston. If I'm playing it safe down the road, you know, in absent of what Lloyd I see from Lloyd later on, I think for 1 week I might roll the dice with Brandon Lloyd.
Well, I guess that's why we differ there. I think Colston's a little safer. I don't know if Lloyd's going to be another Deion Branch and Chad Ochocinco. He's going to be closer in the mold of Moss. And until I get a little bit of a picture of that, if I know I've got a Colston sitting there, I think it's a safer start.
Oh, yeah, definitely safer. I'm just basing it on upside. But good for you. That came from Jokers 99 as well. A good problem to have. It looks like a nice squad he has put together there. So is that it for the questions, Rick? We ready to move on to some start sits?
Yeah, that's it. Well, actually, I have one more.
Oh, all right.
I was just looking at the clock here. We still have plenty of time here. So, okay, we have to start two wide receivers.
Okay.
Stevie Johnson, Lance Moore, Harbin, Crabtree, and this one's kind of laughable, but Devon Best.
That is laughable. I don't think that's even close. Stevie Johnson's the easy number one in that group. I like Moore. I'm going to have to see exactly how he fits into that offense, and his new role is probably the number two guy. Crabtree, I won't be burned again. You know, once bit, twice shy, so I don't know what the third time is. Did they ever get that far in the song?
Stupid.
Harbin's maddening, but as long as he doesn't come up with a migraine Sunday morning, I think it's Stevie Johnson and Percy Harvin, and I don't think it's even close.
Yeah, I have to go there as well. I kind of like the potential of Lance Moore, but I'm almost until, of course, I know he knows the offense, which makes him a little more attractive to me than Lloyd, but certainly Steve Johnson, and I like Percy Harvin too, and plus they're playing at home against Jacksonville. I think there's a lot of upside with him.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Something to monitor. They brought up we were remiss in saying. And I'll let you take the Revis comment, but Stevie Johnson is a little banged up this week. I don't think, from what I've heard yet, maybe you guys in the chat room know something new, but I haven't heard that he's in any danger of not playing. However, he is going against Revis. I made that point in the last show, Rick. I'll let you go ahead and make the argument against that, and you sold me on it. I'm tired of fighting.
I'm just, you know, and maybe Revis is really getting under his collar because, I mean, we've heard a lot about the success Steve Johnson's had on him the last few times they played. But I still just like the potential Steve Johnson. For whatever reason, he seems to succeed against the Jets, and he draws Revis. And providing he's not hurting too bad, hobbling too bad, which I don't think he is. I know they're holding him out of practice, and he's hurting a little bit. I think he's a good start. I don't think you can afford to put him on your bench.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think when you look at this list, if he plays, even with the Revis situation, who are you going to play over him? You know, I didn't even write down Devon Best. However, I can't forget about it. Crabtree, I'm not buying it. He didn't, as the only game in town last year, had a subpar season by fantasy standards anyhow. Lance Moore, he's always been Lance Moore. He could go off on a given week. I just think, you know, now I'm going back to playing it safe. I know who Stevie Johnson is. I know what he can do, and I know what he has done that most people haven't against Darrell Revis.
Yeah, exactly. To me, Steve Johnson, you have to start him, and, you know, I would be flipping a little bit between Moore and Harbin, but and take your pick there. But that's a good question. That's a tough problem to have, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd like to be in some of these situations we're seeing. I'm not in these situations in all my leagues. All right, Rick, let's get to it. We got about 20 minutes left. Let's get in as many of these as we can. Give me your number one overall. Now, obviously, guys, we're not going to tell you to start Arian Foster and to sit, I don't know, Devon Best. I think everybody knows that. If you don't know that, there's probably not much we can do to help you is the nicest way I can say it. So these are guys on the fringe. Similar to these questions we've been asking, you got some tough calls to make. So Rick, who's going to be your number one start this week?
With a bad ankle going into this week one and his partner is very healthy, I think you should start D'Angelo Williams.
Wow, D'Angelo Williams right out the gate.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to be talking Ray Rice and all these guys. I mean, these are some of the borderline players you have on your bench. And I think if you got a flex spot open or something like that, I think D'Angelo Williams is the guy to start. They're playing Tampa Bay. Carolina's much improved. Stewart's ankle's banged up a little bit. I think Murray's going to be getting Murray. What is wrong?
Again, back to DeMarco Murray. Let it go, Rick.
God. Okay, I think D'Angelo Williams is going to get the bulk of the work, and, you know, I think there's plenty of potential there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And here's a guy I have I on countless teams, a guy falling to the ninth round in a lot of cases, going to be serviceable, not going to have that huge year he had in 2009 when somebody on this broadcast beat somebody else on this broadcast by a hair over a point in a championship game, thanks mainly to D'Angelo Williams, but we won't discuss that. Let's move on. I'll give my start. I think it's kind of obvious. A lot of people are saying it, but I really do like it. Week one, Lions playing a bad Rams team, only healthy back in town. Give me Kevin Smith of the Detroit Lions to have in limited action, assuming he finishes the game. He's always had success, and I think he proves it again this week.
Yeah, I mean, the situation's right for him. He's the guy right now. They're playing a crummy defense, and they're at home. I think there's a ton of upside with Smith, and, you know, that's a good start. There's no doubt about that.
Well, of course it's a good start. I come up with it. So now let's go the other way, Rick. Big-name guy, a highly drafted guy, somebody people were counting on as a starter. Who would you bench this week?
Ah, boy, I tell you what. It's been this is one I've been wrestling around with. We were talking, you know, before the show, coming up with, like, the sit of the week. But and, of course, he looked horrible during preseason. And, you know, of course, so did the Cowboys. And this is why I'm kind of waffling a little bit. We're talking, you know, the Cowboys look terrible during preseason. We mentioned that in the last show. You know, you kind of question their line and the offensive power that they might have. And this guy during the preseason just looked horrible. His receivers are banged up. So I'm going to have to sit Carson Palmer.
Yeah, sit Carson Palmer. Yeah, here's a guy. I don't know how many places he wound up being a QB1. I think very few. I think early on in the off season he was getting a lot of buzz and started to cool off, mainly due to the preseason performance you mentioned. You know, tough spot for him. San Diego's a team they seem to have struggled with over the years. So yeah, I think Carson Palmer probably a pretty safe sit there. I just wonder how many people are planning on starting him anyway.
And that's a good point. And that's a tough one. I mean, but then again, if you have Matt Ryan on your team, I can't really recommend to sit him because if he's playing a tough defense, I could care less. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think.
I mean, these are kind of the borderline players sometimes. Sometimes you get into a situation, for example, maybe you had Roethlisberger and Palmer on your roster. If Roethlisberger misses this week due to his wife going into labor, as he has so eloquently mentioned a couple of times, you may be forced into that situation.
Yeah, that's a situation we failed to mention at this point in the show. I saw you sent that tweet out. I didn't even see that news. So, yeah, what are the likelihood here? Is she ready to pop it any minute now? Is this a legitimate concern?
Apparently, I don't see why it would be brought up if she really wasn't ready to have a kid.
Well, because he likes to do this. Has anyone ever liked to create drama more than Ben Roethlisberger?
Al Davis, maybe.
Okay, yeah, he's a close second. So let's move on. I'm going to have to come up with a sit here. And I, like you, Rick, I struggled with this week because we don't have a lot to go on just going into this year. So for me, just based on feel, a guy I'm not as high on as most people, he's obviously a starter at his position. Going into week one, playing a fantastic 49ers defense, I'd be a little leery of starting. I don't want to say sit because nobody's going to sit him, but I'd be a little leery of starting Jordy Nelson this week.
Wow. Yeah, that's a gutty call, you know, to sit anybody from that offense, to be honest with you, other than like Driver or Cobb or something like that. But, yeah, I mean, that's a tough call to make. But like you said, they're going against a very tough defense. And if you got a better option on your – who would you start over? Okay, here's another question I can put towards you, I guess. Would you start Stevie Johnson over him?
Oh boy, that's right on the line there. I would say no, not this week.
Okay, so you would not start Stevie Johnson over Jordy Nelson?
I don't think I would. No.
Okay. Yeah, I mean it's a tough call. There's no doubt about that. But you know, I have found it very hard to bench a Green Bay guy.
No, and I mean, look, again, we're talking bench. These are just guys I'd be worried about. Do you have anybody better than Jordy Nelson? Probably not. You probably took him as your first wide receiver if you have better options. I think this is more for me, this is my chance to say I don't buy into Jordy Nelson to have the year he had last year. The amount of, I've said it 3 or 4 weeks in a row, the amount of 40-yard touchdown receptions he had, I just don't. Just don't see him repeating that. And so a guy I'm a little nervous about going into this year, I'm not even sure, can that offense repeat that type of performance? I guess New England and New Orleans has done it for years, so if this offense is that good, they can maintain it. Just a guy going against, could be a low-scoring game. I don't think you see one of those 35, 38, 42-point games out of Green Bay this week.
No, I don't either, not against that defense. But going back to your question about can they – do that this year offensively, I think they can, and I'll tell you why. Is I know it sounds kind of corny, but I think Cedric Benson solidifies that running game where he is a legitimate threat, and it lets them wing it around.
Well, it's possible. Maybe not necessarily this week against San Francisco. I don't think San Francisco.
I agree. I'm talking for the season.
Yeah, I don't think San Francisco has any fear of Cedric Benson coming in and running the ball against them this year. I think they'll go ahead and take their chances with that and focus on that passing game. So we're down to about 10 minutes. Rick, why don't we throw out a couple more starts, a couple more sits. Give me somebody else you're going to start this week.
Okay, I'll tell you what. If you're in a situation flip-flopping around maybe with some of your wide receiver threes, if you happen to start three receivers in a league or maybe a flex spot, if there's a time to put him out there, I think Laurent Robinson's a good start against Minnesota.
Well, now we're talking gutsy. Go ahead and defend that one.
Well, Jacksonville's going to have to throw it to somebody, Laurent Robinson or Blackman. I like Laurent Robinson. He's a veteran, possession guy, and more short stuff across the middle. I like it against Minnesota. I mean, maybe if they were playing against, you know, Baltimore or something like that, I wouldn't even be touching it. But I think there's a chance right there for some fantasy points.
Yeah, interesting. I'm trying to think of a scenario, maybe in a 20-team league. I'm just trying to think of a scenario in which you would be faced with that decision to have to play Laurent Robinson.
Okay, don't start him then. All right. You know, you say, let's make some picks. You know, go out on a limb and make some picks of some guys. You know, everybody doesn't have a stable of receivers that are just wonderful. I mean, we just went through a question. The guys go out, Devon Best and Crabtree. And, you know, I mean, why not? Maybe you got a Laurent Robinson. You were high on him earlier. And you know, he's a homer teammate or something. You know, I mean, gee whiz. You give me one.
Well, that's why I do this, Rick. That was worth it all right there. We should probably just go off the air. It's not going to get any better than that. All right, Rick, I'll tell you, and you're going to be able to make the same argument for me, which just shows I'm just needling you at this point. But if you find yourself in a quarterback situation this week, if you waited too long, I don't know who you start him over. But even as a rookie in his first game, I like the prospects of Russell Wilson going up against the Cardinals defense this week.
Defend it.
Defend it. I really can't. The Cardinals are a terrible team. There's my first defense of it.
Arizona is one of, you know, fantasy-wise, one of the better scoring defenses.
Yeah, because they're going to turn you over. They're going to get some stuff in the return game, I believe. I like what I've seen out of Russell Wilson. He's sort of been a trendy pickup. We had the argument about him and Matt Flynn last week. It's something that's become the thing of legends. I want to see what Russell Wilson can do. I'm in a 20-team league, if you recall, where I've got some terrible quarterback play, and I'm actually thinking about if I can get my hands on this kid, thinking about throwing him out there. In a big league, I think there's some upside. Look, I was thinking, I don't want to give you Robert Griffin. He's playing an awful team. You look at these rookies. Andrew Luck, I think it's going to be a disaster for him in Chicago. So, really, I took this question from out of the rookie starting quarterbacks, who would I start this week? And for me, it's Russell Wilson.
Well, okay. I mean, I would laugh in your face if you were sitting here, except for the fact that Seattle basically has owned Arizona the last few years. And, you know, I don't know. You know, you have Sidney Rice. He's pretty healthy. As I see in Shane in the chat room, Baldwin and Tate banged up. And, you know, you have Peterson on Rice. So, you know, then you got a rookie trying to force it into either one guy or hitting hurt people. So that's a gutty call.
Yeah, look, it's a tough match. I'm just looking, and like I said, I broke it down, not overall. Look, there's 20 guys out there I'd rather start, probably 18 or 19 anyhow. I'm trying to look at the three quarterbacks. I think RG3's too easy, so it came down as bad as it's going to be for Andrew Luck this week, and I really think it's going to be, you know, that was probably a terrible one. I'm trying to get, what I accuse, what was his name, At Destruction is Nice, of being too cute. Maybe I'm trying to get too cute on this one, but I think he could have a nice game coming out as a rookie, I think, is probably all I'm saying.
And you bash me for saying Laurent Robinson. Nobody's in the situation to start him.
Well, that's true. Unfortunately, I'm in one
situation to start Russell Wilson.
And I'm in one 20-team league where I'm pretty much in that situation. So
yeah,
maybe,
yeah, I know, because I'm in that league with you.
Yeah, that didn't go well for me.
And so, I think I have Cam Newton in that one, I believe.
Congratulations. You had the fourth or fifth pick. I think I had 18 or 19. I might be exaggerating. So we're running out of time here, Rick. How about one more sit? Let's throw sits out there.
Okay, one more sit. I will sit. Ooh, that is a good one. But you know what? A.J. Green.
A.J. Green, wow, okay.
Sit him. You know, it's kind of like your... You know, I would be hesitant to start him against Baltimore week one. And, you know, I'm just scares me. And maybe they'll light them up. You know, this could be a key game right here. You know, Baltimore is either going to flex their muscle and let people know they're still around, or vice versa. Cincinnati can score on them and say maybe there's a new game in town. And I'm still thinking Baltimore is still viable defense. If you got A.J. Green, are you sitting him? Probably not, but I'd be a little leery on my expectations.
Yeah, I think you got to watch the expectations there. A primetime game, especially against the Ravens, I think it's more an indictment on Andy Dalton than A.J. Green. I think A.J.'s going to get his catches. It's sort of, I get your point, it's a temper your expectations. Clearly you're starting him, there's no question about that. But I think temper your expectations. Although that Ravens secondary's been banged up, they've been bad. It's just going to be a matter of whether or not Andy Dalton can get a throw off.
Yeah, that's it. I think this is going to be a statement game one way or another to start this season.
Yeah, absolutely. So mine, here's a guy you may be starting in a flex. I've been faced with this situation in a couple of different leagues. A guy I'm high on, once again, going into this year, I'm sort of back on the Reggie Wayne bandwagon. However, like my point with Andrew Luck, I think he's going to struggle this week going against a good Bears defense on the road in his first game in the pros. I think he's going to struggle, and I think it's going to be Reggie Wayne who suffers the most from a fantasy standpoint.
That's interesting. Okay. It's not a good matchup for him, that's for sure, against that. But I would think if there would be one bright spot in that offense, it would be Reggie Wayne. I'm not sure about Donald Brown's running room against that Chicago defense. But then again, you know, Andrew Luck, the rookie quarterback, like to your point, that's probably the key to it, kind of like Andy Dalton is. If you got Reggie Wayne, you're probably going to start him, kind of like what we were saying before about Green, but you better not be thinking he's going to put up wide receiver one numbers.
No, and I think he's a guy, I tried to put one together here with the ridiculousness we put. I know we've reached on all of these trying to just expand the conversation a little bit. Wayne's a guy, I think you do have guys on your roster who are going to outperform him this week. I really do believe that. I don't know how many people are actually starting Reggie Wayne, because for the better part of the draft season, I've got him on my bench in two or three different leagues as the fourth receiver I was able to get a hold of. I think he's going to produce as a wide receiver too by the time it's all said and done as Andrew Luck gets his feet wet. But I think for 1 week until Andrew Luck's better to go, until he finds himself in a better matchup, I'm not ready to get Reggie Wayne off of that bench yet.
Okay. I mean, I'm not going to argue with that call, that's for sure. So, but we're about running out of time by the looks of it here on the little clock on the computer screen.
Absolutely. We are flush out of time. So if you're listening now, obviously a little conflict for tomorrow night, so we won't be on live tomorrow with this. We'll get this up on the website as soon as we can. We'll try to get it streaming in our normal time slot on Blog Talk tomorrow if we can do that, something we want to work on. But, Rick, final thoughts going into finally full bore by the time we're on the air again. Week one will be in the books, running full bore on Sunday, and I can't wait.
Oh, me either. I mean, this is great. I'm going to get the hot wings and the vegetables.
Oh, here we go with the cauliflower again. How much cauliflower did you eat last night?
No, I can't wait. There's a full slate of games, and there's a lot of great matchups. And, just that game last night, just started getting some of the points scored in all the fantasy leagues we're in. And it's just going to hit the wall. You hit the road running on Sunday. It's going to be great.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, real quick, we got about 30 seconds to go. Just going out, what's the one game you're looking most forward to this week?
Well, obviously, I'm looking forward to the Pittsburgh-Denver game, and not so much really from a homer standpoint. Obviously, you know, being a Steeler fan, I'm interested in it, but I'm really interested to see Peyton Manning, Decker, and Demaryius Thomas going.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I agree 100%. That's the same game I was thinking. That's the one I'm most looking forward to, and for the reason you said, outside of being Steeler fans, seeing what Peyton Manning has, seeing if he's Peyton Manning yet, and then that's yet to be determined. So that's it for this week. We will be back on Tuesday on the Tuesday Night Blitz. We'll recap everything that happened Sunday and Monday. Until then, thanks for joining us. We'll see you.
Take care.
Fired it up and let them horses sing a little.